studies and to get to know and love and be a blessing to the other people on a one-to-one basis. Pray about that and plan to take advantage of his time with us in your own life and in the lives of those that you're praying for. We should announce also that there's going to be a week of prayer, as there was last week. It's going to be in Kansas City, in Kansas, at the end of April, the last week in April. Some of you might like to plan to take that in. I did last year, and by the will of God, might try to do so this year as well. Doris Evanson passed away over a week ago, as you know. There will not be a formal memorial service for her, but there will be an open house in her honor at her son David's home on Friday, the 26th of February. And his home is in Delta, 4512 62nd Street in Delta, 2 to 4, Friday, the 26th of April. I think those are all the announcements at this time, Brother Eric.
25th of February, 26th of February.
Take your Bibles, if you would, to turn to the book of Jude. The topic that I've chosen this morning for our consideration is the topic of the apostasy. We're living in the last days. And one of the things that characterizes these last days, of course, is the apostasy. Growing apostasy, a falling away. Now, may seem like doom and gloom, but any warning, I guess, has that edge to it. You say somebody's near the edge of a cliff, you say, stop. You know, that's doom and gloom. You're going to go fall over. We're in desperate times. We're the end of the age. We're near the end of the time of waiting for the Lord's coming for his people. So we'd expect, I think, that there would be the great apostasy. Now, in the beginning of this dispensation of grace, we have the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And that starts out with the apostles, what they did. Well, they're preaching and so on for the first number of years and the missionary journeys of Paul and to the end of the book of Acts. And we might say the book of Acts is continually being written today. Now, Jude, as it has been pointed out by some, is a picture of the Acts of the apostates, the end of the age. So what we want to do with this is look at Jude. We've got 20 minutes. And basically, we're going to have to go through a book that is chock full of information. But we can only do it in a sketch form, which we'll try this morning. The other thing about the book of Jude, you might say as an introductory statement, is that it's a fitting introduction to the apocalypse, to the book of Revelation. It introduces that because it's the apostate church and the apostates that are going to go into the tribulation period after the church is removed and there will go be judged. The apostasy is always judged, as we'll see. There's a motion from a falling away to a falling into the very judgments of God. So Jude gives us really a history. He goes back into history and makes some very pointed statements. He uses them as illustrations of apostasy in history. And he gives us not only a history, but also the future end of apostasy. All through the Bible, all through time, he gives us a complete picture of what the apostasy is and its ultimate end. Now, Paul really supplies us with the language of apostasy, what it means. If we turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And we get the term defined for us. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, that is, the day of the Lord, the day when judgment comes, the day when God is going to destroy his enemies. Let no one deceive you, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Now, that's the definition of apostasy, is a falling away from. So an apostate is not someone who is just an unbeliever, but someone who professed to be a believer at one time and has fallen away from that truth. There's a difference from never believing to being an apostate. And so an apostate is one who once accompanied the people of God, professed the truth of God, but has then fallen away. And of course, Judas is the great picture of apostasy. And isn't it interesting that it's a Judas who writes about apostasy? Because the book of Jude, written by Jude here, his Greek name is Judas. That's the Hebrew is Jude or Judah. And we get the Judas. Now, we get intimation throughout Scripture of this departure, this falling away, and what the progress of it. And Paul writes, and Peter writes about the apostasy. But Jude, as it were, gathers all the strings together and gives a comprehensive view of this apostasy, of the apostates and their end. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:3. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. And here we see, where does it begin, we might say, apostasy? And how do those that are affected by apostates get swept into their circle? Verse 3. For the time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Because they will not endure sound doctrine, they will heap to them, they'll bring themselves to themselves, those that have good stories. You know, we find that one of the most dangerous spots for apostasy has always been places of higher learning, places where you'd expect to look for blessing, but you find there the center of apostasy. So many of our great institutions that began as Christian witness, we think of Oxford and Cambridge and Harvard and other places that were great witnesses for God at one time, have now been our home to apostates with profound influence throughout the world. So that's the first thing, an unwillingness to endure sound doctrine. And two, then there's the departure from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says in latter times, some will depart from the faith and giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and so on. There is the Spirit himself was speaking to Paul here to give a message through Timothy to the church later on. And it's a warning. And Jude, of course, in his book, as I see here at the back there, I'm not going to get a chance to even go into this book this morning, but we can think about some general principles about the apostasy from the book of Jude as well. But here we have the Spirit himself speaking expressly. We don't get that very often in Scripture, where we read about the Spirit speaking and impressing upon the mind of the writer to record this for the benefit of the church in the future. We do get that in Jude, however, because Jude says, you know, I wanted to talk about the common salvation. He wanted to speak about something uplifting, probably something like the book of Colossians or Ephesians, and think of the position of the Christian in Christ and all the blessings. He wanted to speak about that. But it was as though the Spirit of God took him and said, look, Jude, I have an important message for the people of God, and especially for those who live in the last days. I want you to record this. So he wrote this book about the apostasy, the coming apostasy. But here Paul is saying the Spirit speaks expressly, in latter times some will depart from the faith. We've seen great departure from the faith, don't we? There's another example of where people that have been professors have left the faith. Paul warned about them in Acts, of that he said, when I leave, I know that the Spirit of God says that there's going to be some coming among you who are going to go after the flock. Now we might say here, what in Vancouver here in 2016, early on in the year, do we have a problem here at 16th Avenue? I don't think we do immediately, but we never know. You never know what might come up. That's why we need to, as it were, earnestly contend for the faith, is what Jude puts. But we'll go on here to Paul's description of this, of the latter times. Some will depart from the faith. So that's the first thing, is people, there's an unwillingness to endure sound doctrine. Then there's a departure from the faith. And then, because nature does not like a vacuum, they will adhere to doctrines of demons. There is no such thing as a blank sheet as far as belief is concerned. Everybody believes something. And if you say you don't believe anything, then something is going to take you over. Because it talks about doctrines of demons. During the last time, there seems to be the great activity of the spirits of darkness, knowing that the time is short. And the Antichrist is none other than the perfectly obedient man of sin that will be actually inhabited by Satan himself. That's his masterpiece. Satan's masterpiece will be the man of sin. So there'll be doctrines of demons during that last time. Now, Peter also talks about false teachers and so on. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. As a matter of fact, Peter and Jude are very closely related. Some are not sure whether Peter was influenced by Jude or Jude was influenced by Peter. or they both had a discussion about the same thing. Probably the latter would be true. There was a very concern about the church in the latter days. Chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Peter. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Among you. It's always, when it comes to apostasy, the apostates are among. They creep in. They arise from among you. These are the languages of that the apostles use to warn the people of God to be very suspicious of those that have these doctrines. They'll secretly bring in destructive heresies. Secretly. How do they manage to do that? Well, without enduring sound doctrine, then you can sneak in these kind of heresies. Things that sound good at first. And I've seen intimations of those through the years. Where, you know, I should have written some of these things down, but there was a movement a number of years ago about discipline. This idea of discipline. But it would have got away from relying upon the Holy Spirit, upon the scriptures themselves. But it was almost a cult of self-discipline. And there's been other little things that have arisen through the years that have sort of troubled the people of God, thinking that they haven't quite got the full blessing. And these, they come in secretly to try to trick the people of God to think that there's something other than what they've been taught. We need to endure sound doctrine. That's one of the basis of keeping away from or keeping these apostates out of our midst. They cannot endure sound doctrine. Now, Peter talks about that again in verse chapter 3 and verse 3. And he says this, that knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And one of the great controversies about in the church today is that around the coming of the Lord Jesus. Many think that they've mixed up Israel and the church, and so that the church is now going to go through the tribulation. They have mixed up the appearing of the Lord in glory with his saints, with us appearing in the glory with him. The scripture is very plain. When Christ, who is our life, it says in Colossians, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. We're there. When his appearing comes to the earth, the church is there. Never is it seen on the earth during the time when God is bringing judgments against the apostasy. Christ has suffered once for sins forever. He will not allow his body, his beloved bride, to suffer where he has already suffered. And so one of the controversies that the apostates will bring is confusion over the coming of the Lord. It was made very clear 150 or 160 years ago where the coming of the Lord was a doctrine that was opened up to the church. And such blessing came to the church, and so much truth was opened up in the last 150 years or more. Through the efforts of these brethren, through the coming of the Lord, understanding when the true coming of the Lord was, and our true position in him, that so much truth came in. Now it's being obscured by a doctrine of mixing up the church, a replacement theology, and so on. And they're very subtly, this is coming in. So now people are not looking to the Lord for his coming. They're looking for signs of the evil one. Their eyes are off the coming of the Lord and the immediacy of his return and the purifying hope of his soon return, to be fearful that they're going to have to go through some portion of that tribulation, the judgment of God against the apostasies that has come on the planet. How that can affect the children of God. I haven't even read the book of Jude, and I'm not going to try. But I'll just give a few introductory comments, and sometime in the future, maybe we can study it in detail, this book. And it's very encouraging. Some of the things that Jude says are so encouraging. For one of the things he says, we are preserved in Christ Jesus. Beloved, he says, we're preserved. That word preserved is in the perfect. Yeah, that means we were preserved and we are being preserved and we're shown to be preserved to the very end. We're in his hand. I and my Father are one. So, brothers and sisters, the apostasy cannot touch the true believer. Let us keep aware, keep our eyes open, searching sound doctrine, watching carefully, praying, and not falling asleep. Let's just look to the Lord for his blessing. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us. You're very good, Lord. We thank you that you have preserved a people for your name. So, Lord, help us in our testimony here, Lord, for each one. Think of the ESL and the Sunday school and the Bible studies, Lord, and the preaching. Our fellowshipping together, Father, we pray that you might purify yourself a people for your name here at 16th Avenue. The Lord, that we might be a people that would praise you and glorify your Son. And so, Lord, help us to be awake and not sleep, and to be aware of our surroundings in this darkened world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.